And to think he did that in just one simple act, he created the entire universe. And if you can't get a glimpse of who God is through the stars, what about the nature? I don't know how many of you have driven around the last few days and saw the leaves changing and how beautiful they are and God's great beauty painted in nature. Romans chapter 1, I believe it is, it tells us that we can see God clearly in creation. So I'm not going to go through every verse I may have went through earlier, but it tells we can see God clearly through creation. So if we got to realize who we are. I've gave you a little tiny outline of who God is just through that. But who are we? We're nothing but a sinner that God has saved by grace. And a lot of people, they come to church and they plop down their seat and they cross their arms and they say, "Lord, I'm here. I'm doing you a great favor." Yeah, I mean, they don't really say that, but in their mind, they're thinking that. And they're thinking to themselves, "Okay, Lord, now it's up to you to bless me." Do you think people say that? I really do. I think that in their minds anyhow. So that's what they're thinking. But we have to realize who we are. Even if we are a Christian, we need to come humbly before God, realizing who he is and realizing who we are. God does not need us. Christian or not, God doesn't need you. We miss out on a blessing a lot of times when we don't do something for the Lord because he's asked us to do it, but he doesn't really need us. He just allows us to be blessed by serving him. And he holds the very breath that we breathe in his hand. He doesn't need us. Take all this in consideration. God does not need you. He doesn't need me. He could have got a worm up here and preached this morning. He probably done as well as I could. So how do you get connected to God? First step, we realize who God is and realize who we are. If you do that, you're on a path to worship. But also, you must prepare your hearts to worship. So don't come to the church with your arms folded and ask the Lord to bless you. How do you prepare your heart for worship? The way I do it a lot of times, I listen to some good Christian music, okay? Or some good Christian preaching. Or even before you come to church, you pray. You have to prepare your heart to worship the Lord. If you're not prepared, it's not going to happen. It's not going to happen. You're never going to worship the Lord if you don't prepare your heart to worship the Lord. And then I looked at the aspect of where does worship come from? And in Psalm 102, I gave Tim some of the verses ahead of time, he asked me to. In Psalm 102, which I'm not going to probably read, I'll read it. Go ahead, Psalm 102. If you want to turn your Bible, I know when the pastor does it, you have them all neatly written out. But I actually don't like that. To me, I find that a great distraction to have the verses all written out. Because what I see people around me doing, as soon as he reads one verse, you know what they do? They're flipping and turning to the next verse, and they're not even listening to Pastor George. So I actually personally don't like it. And I try not to do that, too. So Psalm 102. So worship comes from singing. I still hear pages turning. Psalm 100, verse 2. Serve the Lord with gladness. Come before his presence with singing. And you know what? A lot of times, Rich kids me about raiding the church. But if I'm up here leading the music sometimes, I will actually pause when I'm leading the music and I will listen to how many people are singing. And I'll assure you, there's a lot of people that are not singing. Their mouths may be moving, but I don't think they're singing. And there is even some people that said they don't like to sing. They don't sing at all. And you know what? If that's the case, you can't worship. This is your chance in a church to worship the Lord. When we have our worship service, it's through singing. If you can't do that, one day when you get to heaven as a Christian, you're not going to feel very comfortable up there, I don't think. Because we're going to be doing a lot of singing, and you're going to feel out of place. You're going to think to yourself, "Oh, I never sang in church service, and now I got to come up here and do a lot of singing." You're not going to feel very comfortable. Because singing is one way we do worship the Lord. Another way we worship the Lord is by doing. And I picked a verse, I don't know if I actually did write it. Turn to Genesis chapter 4. Genesis chapter 4. That's a funny way to come to giving, but we're going to look at that right there. One way we worship the Lord is by doing and doing. And one way we do something for the Lord, we give. Genesis chapter 4. And we're going to read three verses there. Genesis 4, 3 through 5. I had to find it also. Now this is about Cain and Abel. Okay, Genesis chapter 4, verses 3 through 5. And in the process of time, it came to pass that Cain brought of the fruit of the ground an offering unto the Lord. And Abel, he also brought of the firstlings of his flock and of the fat thereof. And the Lord had respect unto Abel and to his offering. But unto Cain, to his offering, he had not respect. And Cain was very wroth, and his countenance fell. I could have picked many verses in the Bible where it talked about giving. This one just popped in my mind as I was thinking about giving. And it's an act of worship to give to the Lord if you do it properly. You don't do it because of you see the need and it has to be done. You do it because you love the Lord and all he's done for you. And in just a very small way, you want to repay him for all he's done for you. So another way we can obey the Lord, we can worship the Lord, is in obeying and service. Occasionally we'll say we have a need for somebody in the nursery, we'll have a need for somebody to teach Sunday school or something, and you may feel the Lord's kind of touching your heart. Well, you know you can do that. You know you should do that. But you don't respond. You say, well, I'm going to let somebody else do it. I'm too busy. You know, I don't know if I could do a good job. You have all these excuses why you don't want to obey the Lord by serving him, by doing something for him, by worshiping him. That's an act of worship when you obey the Lord. And the last way I put down an act of worship is by listening. I think we will. We'll go to 1 Kings chapter 19. I was just going to quote from that, but I think we'll actually look at it. 1 Kings chapter 19. And this is a mistake people commonly make. They don't ever listen to the Lord. They come to the Lord and say, I need this, that. I want you to do this, Lord. This person's sick. And that's all fine. But do we ever listen to the Lord? So in 1 Kings chapter 19, I think we'll start at verse 11, and we'll go through 12, just 11 and 12. 1 Kings 19, 11 and 12. Everybody all set? And he said, go forth and stand upon the mount before the Lord. And behold, the Lord passed by, and a great and strong wind rent the mountains. And it brake into pieces and the rocks before the Lord. But the Lord was not in the wind. And after the wind, an earthquake. But the Lord was not in the earthquake. And after the earthquake, a fire. But the Lord was not in the fire. And after the fire, a still small voice. Now that's how you're going to listen to the Lord. You're going to feel him tugging at your heart. Feel it tugging at your conscience that you need to do something for him. You're not going to see any writing in the sky. Wouldn't that be nice if you woke up this morning and you saw, Rich, this is what I want you to do. It's written in the sky. Or it was some way simple like that. You have to listen to the Lord. If you don't find yourself praying and then taking some time after you pray to listen to the Lord, you're not going to hear the Lord, and therefore your worship will not be complete the way it should be. Because lots of times the Lord will speak to you very specifically about something he wants you to do, or something he wants you to pray for, or something he wants you not to do, most of all. And excuse me. My sinuses have been acting up this morning. So if you're not listening to the Lord, you're going to miss what he's trying to tell you. And therefore, part of your worship will be missing because you'll be coming to him and telling him your desires of your heart, but you won't know what the Lord's trying to tell you. Now, the part of our original text there where I said, you shall worship me in spirit and truth, that really bugged me when I was reading that. Because the Lord chose that text for me to use. And I said, I understand the spirit part, but the truth part I'm having a little struggle with. So one thing that came to my mind, what's going on in churches today? Are they worshiping in spirit and truth, especially the truth part? And then that made me think of Pentecostal churches. So I pulled up some live videos of the way that Pentecostal churches worship with their hands up and their loud music. And I contrasted that with the way that rock bands, people get all excited in rock bands. And you know what? I couldn't see a lot of difference. So I'm not so convinced that raising your hands and this loud, obnoxious drums and music going on, I'm not sure that any worship's going on there. I think they're enjoying the music, and I think they're having a good time, but go do what I did. Pull up a rock band and look at what's going on there, and look at what's going on in a Pentecostal church as they worship. They say they're worshiping the Lord, and their hands are raised, and they're swaying back and forth, and I think sometimes people speak in tongues, and who knows what else goes on. But I really didn't see any difference. I was a little bit surprised. I thought hopefully I'd see some difference. But I saw very little difference in the two forms of the form of worship in the Pentecostal church and the excitement going on in a rock band. So my point is there's probably a lot of false worship going on. When he says you must worship me in spirit and truth, I think many, many churches, there's not any truth going on in the worship at all. And our worship in this church is called, Rich used the term this morning, worship hour. So what? How do you get the worship in our church this morning or any other morning when the pastor's preaching? And the way that's done is you worship through the song. You lift up your voice unto the Lord. You're not trying to impress Brian by your singing. You're not trying to impress Larry Ouellette by your singing. But you're lifting your voice up to the Lord and worshiping him during that time. That's your part of the worship. Because when Pastor George starts preaching, you're going to have an hour of just listening. And really not much worshiping is going on there. You're trying to say to yourself, Lord, what are you trying to show me through Pastor George's preaching? That's going on, and you're listening intently, and you want to get something out of the message, but your part of the worship precedes that, where we're all singing together. So next week, when Pastor George preaches, I expect to hear the volume up at least twice in this church. At least twice. What do you think? So I want to conclude this all. I know I'm probably early, but that's fine. I probably left off some of my notes at home. So I want to conclude this by all saying, do you worship? On your dying bed, are you going to be feeling anxious about going to heaven because you don't know what's there, but you have worshiped the Lord? Are you going to feel very apprehensive on your dying bed because you've never worshiped the Lord? And you're going to think to yourself, boy, this is all new to me. I don't even know how to go to heaven and worship the Lord. So the choice is really yours as a Christian. You need to prepare yourself. You need to realize who God is and who you are. And you need to listen. You need to do things for the Lord. You need to pray to the Lord. You need to sing to the Lord. If you're doing all that, the chances are you are worshiping. But I'm afraid a lot of Christians are not even doing that. A lot of it's just mouth service. You come to church, you may move your mouth, and looks like you're singing. If Rich is leading the song, he looks like, oh, yeah, he's singing. No, he's not. There's a lot of people, I'm telling you, for me stopping when I do lead the song on occasion, when I fill in for Rich, that I will stop and listen, and there's a lot of people not singing. Because if we have 45, 50 people in here, and they're singing, we should probably be disturbing somebody in the neighborhood, even though they're not very close. But if you're really just lifting up your heart and worshiping the Lord and singing, praising unto the Lord, the singing should be a much larger volume than it is. So from now on, Brian, you got to sing. I'm just picking on Brian. But again, just wrapping it all up, I think there's a lot of churches that no worship goes on at all. We know what type of churches they are. And in our churches, a lot of times we don't avail ourselves for the opportunity to worship the Lord. And if you don't do that, like I said, I'm including my whole service, that on your dying bed, you're not going to feel very comfortable. Maybe you are a Christian. I'm not denying that. But you're trying to say, wow, I'm going to heaven? It's totally unknown to me, just like the person who has worshiped the Lord. But I don't even know who this God is I'm supposed to go meet. It would be like going to meet somebody you've never met before because you've never met them in worship. Your heart can meet the Lord through your spirit worshiping to the Lord. So as Christians, we need to avail ourselves to that ability to worship the Lord and do it. So starting next week, like I said, I'm going to hear the volume at least twice as loud. I'm not going to even sing myself. I'm just going to look around and listen. Oh, no, I can't do that. Okay, so let's go ahead and bow our head and close our eyes, and we're going to conclude our service. Dear Heavenly Father, we do thank you for this opportunity to get together, Lord. May you help each of us to realize how extremely important worship is, Lord. It's when the chance is given to us to meet you. Our hearts are joined together to meet your heart, Lord, and be ever so close to you, Lord. But most Christians, I'll stick with most Christians don't avail themselves to this opportunity, Lord. And Lord, let us see how important it is, Lord, to be drawn close to you. So when one day when we're laying on that deathbed, Lord, we'll know who we're going to meet, and we won't be scared to death about it, Lord, but we'll be a little bit nervous because there's so many unknown things about heaven, Lord. But we'll be going to meet somebody that we love, know well, and we worship openly on this earth, Lord. So, Lord, just remind us what being a Christian is all about. It's about praying, going to church as often as we can, to serve you when we can, Lord. But I would say one of the most important things is to worship you, Lord. Help us to see how important that is in our life. And, Lord, I pray that you would just bless the food we're getting ready to partake of. Bless the ladies that have fixed it, Lord. And may we have a great time of fellowship downstairs as we get ready to adjourn and go down there. It's in Jesus Christ's name I do pray. Amen.